Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
I don't. I have no idea how you do your schedule, so nothing but off.
We're women. We do what we got to, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So I saw your show in Vegas few months ago. Just fabulous.
Thank you.
Wow, I was knocked out by it, especially by your dancing, which was terrific.
Did you see that part? Well, I don't know. Did you see where they did the turn and we kind of change it out where I flip around and lay down in his arms and then flip up? That's the one I tripped on.
Oh, yes. I know the one. Yeah,
because
And I wondered how you did it in heels.
Exactly. Yeah. They say that women and men are the same on Dancing with the Stars. No. Tell the men to wear the high heels and kick their feet over their head.
And you sang opera, which is just something I guess you've been studying for the last little while, and you did it wonderfully.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That's so far from country music. Mm-hmm. What made you want to study opera?
Well, the opera that we did in the show is P.E. Asia, which is on my new album coming out. I have my first inspirational album. I've done, 30-something albums or whatever, but I've never done one that was just dedicated to my beliefs in God. But I wanted it to be very eclectic, and I had studied opera. I don't know. I started country music. Country music, you do a series of one-nighters. And I worked about 265 one-nighters a year. And I loved it on the bus. But the more children I have, and yes, I have a few. I have 8 children. You realize that it's fun being the performer, but not necessarily the child following the performer. And I wanted them to be able to sit down and go to school and have friends. And so I changed into musical theater and did lots of shows like King and I on Broadway. But when I was doing The Sound of Music, that particular show, one of the nuns she played a nun. She was a vocal teacher. And she was listening to me sing, and she said, "You can sing opera." And I said, "No, I can't." She goes, "No, I'd love to try." So I just did it for fun. And we have a couple operatic pieces on the album. So.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. Now, in the show...
When you're in this business long enough, you just keep trying things. Yeah.
And you've been in it since you were, 2 minutes old?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I was a fetus. No.
Now, in the show, you and Donnie go at each other as brothers and sisters will, but you guys have been working together for so long. You really must have a bond that no one on the planet shares.
Well, it's not necessary that we've been working together, because we really haven't worked together all these years, but we have been brother and sister all these years. And, it goes back to that sibling relationship. And I think that it's interesting, because we always knew we would do something together again in our careers, and Vegas was the perfect opportunity. But there's that pattern. It's different every night. It just depends on his mood and my mood. But you think about it, there really haven't been, except for maybe the Carpenters. And Richard never really talked very much, But it is a unique relationship for the entertainment business, because usually it's a husband and a wife, or a host and another host. But you can say things to your sister you could never say to a female host, and you can definitely say things to your brother that you could not say to a male host.
But underneath it all, it's a very special love you share, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you can tell that. I mean, I hope you can, that we enjoy. As a matter of fact, I told you I haven't been to bed in a couple days. We just shot our first album cover. We have our new album coming out right after mine comes out. And we're actually heading to England after this to debut it over there first. We're going to do that show over there, An Evening With. And then we'll fly right back and do the shows at the Flamingo.
Beautiful. Now, 8 kids in tow with you on this?
No, I'll just fly over for a couple days, and then I'll fly back, yeah.
How do you do that? You've got 8 kids, you're a single mom, you got a Vegas show, you got an album. How do you juggle all that stuff?
Do you know what? How do all women do it? They say now that 70% of our homes are single-parent homes. You kind of help each other. You realize that... kids want all your time. They don't want quality time. But unfortunately, when you work and you're playing both roles, you have to give them quality time. And you just have to find that peace in yourself that you can feel that prompting of the spirit when it says, there's a teaching moment. Or this, we have to be consistent. And that's the hardest thing. Children need consistency. And they need boundaries and they need the rules, but you're not always there to enforce them. So whoever that is, your team around you is really crucial to help you enforce those things for those kids.
And do you find time for yourself as well?
It's really hard, isn't it, to do that? But I believe that I don't know everything, but I had a fantastic mother, and she always believed in finding that alone time, whether it's 30 minutes, I mean, even finding, you know, taking a bath without the door being banged on with eight kids is really hard. But I believe that you have to be able to be at peace with yourself before you can ever be at peace in anything else in your life. So you have to find that time. It's hard, but you have to make it.
You've overcome some very difficult things in the last few years, the divorce, postpartum depression, and all very publicly, your son in rehab, all of this in the spotlight.
My father died, on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. All that was happening at that time.
Did you feel the impact of all of that happening at once? Was it devastating?
You know, I think it goes back. It's funny. I've just been offered, I just signed another book deal. And they liked my last book so much. But this one's going to be geared towards female, that generational effect of mothers. And it'll be out around Mother's Day. But
and you talk a lot about that in this book, too.
Well, they loved that. They said, do you have more stories? I said, do I have stories? Hello. And so when all those things hit, I think you can approach life two ways. When I talk about that alone time, like you were saying, if we try to keep things, or we feel like, oh, I'm embarrassed, or, you know, I don't want to talk about that, you know, people will think that I'm weak. I think that's really damaging to you as a person. I was the first person to talk, celebrity, to talk about postpartum depression, and now we have a lot of celebrities talking about it. I think it's good. We're all women. I don't care who you are. We go through the same things. And I've always believed that, you know, when my child was going through his trials, and my kids go through struggles. We don't have perfect children, you know. That's the first thing you have to realize, is none of us are perfect. But I believe that humor, talking about things, having that good support system, and being okay if you make a mistake, you know. You learn and you keep moving forward, you know, and that's kind of my philosophy.
That's great. And you did that on Dancing with the Stars after the fall.
Yeah, the big old. Yeah, I told everybody. I said, well, nobody saw that, right? Yeah, right. It was like, what, the number one hit on YouTube? But, I said, the other day they said, because Donnie's thinking about doing Dancing with the Stars now. And I told him, I said, yeah, when he can wear, you know, big heels and kick his leg, then I'll think that he's in comparison with what I had to do. But, you get through it. And I tell everybody, you know, I hit my head so flipping hard when I passed out. I had a knot on my head that I can't remember, but I won, didn't I?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, you came out a winner. It was a great show.
Keep laughing. I think I got up off the floor and said, sleeping on the job. But you just have to laugh. It helps.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you learned a lot from that show. Did you take some of that, what you learned from the dancing on that show, to your own show in Vegas?
Well, we do. You saw the dance challenge that we do there. And we put that in because dancing is always so fun when you do it live. And when I started Dancing with the Stars, I was not a dancer. And I'm still not a great dancer, but I can keep up with the 23-year-olds on stage now. And also, it's so good for you as a woman. Take dance class, because the jar is so good for our osteoporosis and our health and our heart.
And mental health.
And mentally, it's fun. It's a great way to exercise without feeling like you have to exercise.
And you look fantastic.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I saw you in Vegas. I was knocked out. Look at this girl. Oh. She looks fabulous.
Well, I turned 50 this year in October, and the female F word, 50. And... And so, yeah, exactly. But that's one of the reasons I wanted to do my inspirational album, and it will be out right before my 50th birthday, is to just, that's how I got through life. You know, my parents instilled a real strong belief in God, your higher power, whatever you choose to call it. But I call it, you know, my Father in Heaven. And that's what I wanted to celebrate that in my music. So we have Prague Symphony. We have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. We have the Baptist Choir. We have simple, you know, piano vocal songs. It's really very fun album.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, you look great now, but you weren't always happy with your self-image. Tell me a little bit about it, and you speak about it beautifully in the book, but how you overcame not being happy with how you looked.
Well, in the book I talk about when I started Donnie and Marie. I was around 14 years old, and I believe that the images that are put out there for women, especially our daughters, are so tough. I mean, in the media, you have to be stick thin. Now, I'm very tiny boned, and so people go, oh, you're so thin. Well, Donnie's, he's like this most petite human being you've ever seen, and I have to stand by him. No. But I am right. I'm very small bone, and so for my frame, I was carrying way too much weight for my heart, and I don't know. You know, we all go through those images, but some of that weight that I put on later in my life was because I was tired of trying to just keep it all together. It's too hard. You get to that stage in your life where you're taking care of your kids and your parents and your brothers and your, you know, all these people. And you go, I don't have time for me. And so I stopped eating. I'm actually doing a Nutrisystem hit here. It was a very sensible way for me to eat, because what happens is you starve yourself and then your metabolism slows down. And then the inconsistency of eating is what causes you to put weight on. Yeah. And that's what happened to me. So I've lost 50 pounds now.
You look fabulous.
Well, thank you.
And you actually, it's hard to believe at one point you struggled with bulimia as a very young person? Or?
Oh, well, and I talk about that in the book. I mean, I was taken out in a parking lot by producers and various people, and I was probably 15 pounds thinner than I am now, and they said I was fat at 5'5 and 110 pounds. And so I got down to about 93 pounds. I became one of those, you know, Hollywood lollipop heads where your head is bigger than your body. And that was very much in the 70s. We didn't know the nutritional ramifications of those kinds of eating things. But I did that even for a brief period of time. But I really believe a lot of eating disorder issues stem from not feeling in control in your life. And that's really through those teen years where you're trying to be everything for everybody. And, you know, you just wish you could grab these girls and say, you are in control of your life. Set those boundaries. Know what you can and can't do. And then it's not an issue. The food becomes a non-issue. The spending becomes non-issue. All those things that we do to try to fill those holes in our insides. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I mean, you've championed your life. You're in control of your life. But I see a lot of young stars today just falling into pitfalls. Well, the bulimia, the drinking, the drugs. Mm-hmm. What do you think? It's harder these days for a young person in the spotlight than it was when you were growing up?
I don't know if the temptations are harder. I had just as many. I mean, I would go to music industry parties, and they would have tables heaped with cocaine, and say, "Here's our gift to you. Here's some plastic bags. Take it home." I think what's harder now for these kids is I had a really strong foundation in family and values, and just those ethical things that you learn from the consistency of home life. And I don't think, and also I learned a very hard work ethic from my mom and dad. And Donnie and I, we've said that we were on the kind of the tail end of that era of being a celebrity. I mean, being an entertainer versus what I call now a celebrity, where it's like, what can I get and what are my perks and, you know, do for me? It was more about what can I do for my audience? What can I do to give? And I believe that philosophy is healthy in whatever you do in whatever industry. Good work ethic and keeping that inner value structure. So, you know, it's a hard world out there. You know, these kids can have anything they want and they get anything quickly and they're buffed and, you know, they go to the hotels and the limos and everything else that they want. And, you know, I mean, we had the number one television show in 17 languages and we had our new multi-billion-dollar studio, and my dad said, I'm not hiring a cleaning crew. You know, go scrub the toilets. And that's what he did, you know. I mean, I'd work 14-hour days and my mom would come home and say, you know, you got to change the sheets and do the laundry.
Let's bake bread.
Exactly. In the book, right, make bread and, you know, bottle cherries and peaches. And I learned all those things that I thought at the time were so stupid. And now I go, okay, girls, because I have four daughters, come on, we're going to make bread and we're going to learn to bottle peaches and you're going to learn to can just like grandma taught me. And those are the generational things. It's why I sell dolls, because it's something that brings generations together of women, something that grandma can have in common with granddaughter.
Absolutely.
So it's all about heart for me. Yeah.
When did you first start sculpting the dolls? What sparked the idea?
Well, I was a collector forever, and did that with my mom on the road, and that's what kind of was the love of it. But 5 years into the process, because I believe the arts are related. I love painting and I crochet, I quilt. I have a line of sewing machines. I have my own fabrics. I'm crazy. But yes, I am. But I love tactile things, and I really wanted to get into it because I could see things in the faces that the sculptors would send. I go, that eye is off. And I worked with Way Bandy and, you know, all these fabulous makeup artists. And I went, well, I think I can see that. And so I started sculpting about, 4 years into my dolls. So 15 years now I've been sculpting.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, they're beautiful. I was playing with them before you came in. I admit that.
So cute. Well, you know, a doll is just a doll unless you put heart behind it. Like, this is a really fun one from Dancing with the Stars. This is one of the outfits I wore, and that's a doorbell. She's one of my sculpts, and they have the little dot.
They all have that, right?
Not all of them, only the ones I sculpt.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Now, I know you're very close with your mother and your father, and yet a recent fire, you lost years and years of memories. How did you cope with that?
Well, I think that's one of those times where you sit back and go, wow, we base so much of ourselves in material possessions, and you realize that they can go in 2 seconds. It's nice to have them. It's wonderful. I'm very sentimental with my grandmother's things and my mother's things and the things that survived the fire. But what really was the most difficult for me was I lost a lot of journals over the 30 years of my life. And are you talking about the book?
Yeah.
Well, that's how the book happened, was I started to write down stories and memories for my children that I wanted them to have. And then Marcia, who was my co-author, she went off and sent them to a book publisher, and then the book came.
So, makes sense. Yeah. Great stories you tell in the book.
I loved Irma Bombeck. We don't have an Irma Bombeck.
She's a bowl of cherries.
I know. I just loved her philosophy. Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah, she is.
And this younger generation didn't have her. Not that I'm saying I'm her, but I think in a similar humor way, I think, that Irma did. And having 8 children, I think I'm relatable in some way to people. And so I write about just crazy things and things that I learned that may tie into something else, that ties into something else, and then I try to bring it back around to the main thought. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. It's what's been most fun about this book is, you know, the age demographic that has been buying this book, besides our age, are the 20 to the 30-year-olds.
Really?
Isn't that fascinating?
That's great.
And so I love that. Yeah. I do.
In the book, you talk about starting the Children's Miracle Network, mm-hmm. and the amazing incident that sort of sparked that. Could you tell me about that?
Are you talking about my niece?
Yes.
Well, it's hard to explain it. You'll have to read the book. The main thought of it was we all have those things. I really believe that our greatest fears can be our greatest strengths. And I've learned that through life, that really, you know, we can overcome anything if we really put our mind to it. And I had a very hard time being around children that were injured or hurt or had, my heart broke. I couldn't handle it, you know? And long story short, my brother Tom, who was one of my hard of hearing brothers, his daughter was born without a skull, and she only lived a few hours. But my brother wanted me to come to the hospital, and an incident happened that was really one of those life-changing moments for me. Anyway, long story short, when this thing happened that I saw, you'll read it. Anyway, I went down to the hospital because it was like I had promised that little girl before this life that I would come see her. And when they put her in my arms, she squoze my finger. And the doctor said, oh, it was probably just because she had no brain, you know. But I knew, you know, that she was saying thank you for being there. And because of her, I can go anywhere. I can go into burn centers. I can go into cancer centers. I can go into whatever, because I love these kids. And I don't care whose kids they are. Man, I'm sorry. I'm just like my mother. I love babies. And and you see these children being helped by Children's Miracle Network. There is nothing better you can do for an adult, a mother, a grandmother, grandfather, when you help a child. It is the best feeling. And that's my passion towards Children's Miracle Network.
That's great. And you're also involved with the Heart Association? Is that
right? I am. I'm a child advocate. I'm a female advocate. I believe in things that make a difference, really. And heart disease runs in my family. Most women don't live past 50. So I realized a few years ago that I was really kind of rolling the dice, you know. And being a single mom, and really being the financial support of my 8 children, I said, I really don't have an option. And instead of feeling angry that I felt that option, I turned it over into feeling a love for myself and looking towards the next, 20 years of my life to be healthy. So I went on Nutrisystem, I went on Dancing with the Stars, exercised, and here I am 50 pounds thinner, and I feel great. Fantastic. So, yeah.
And now your family, the Osmonds, grew up in a very similar way to the Jacksons. Are you in touch with their family?
As a matter of fact, Jermaine came to the show the other day, last week. But, it's funny, the Jacksons, their dad used to make them sit in front of the television and watch my brothers on the Andy Williams Show. And there's not a lot of families that can relate in the sense that they were 70s icons, and we would sit in the hotels and, we'd all throw footballs down the hall because we couldn't go outside because the girls were crazy over my brothers. But, my heart is tender towards their family, and Jermaine was awesome, and he said the kids are doing well, and he was the lead singer for the group, just like my brother Merrill was the lead singer. And so I'm connecting the two of them so they can talk to each other and spend some time. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. Marie, great dolls, fantastic book. And thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're darling. I hope I didn't blab too much.
No, that's great. Can I just get you to do a quick station ID?
Sure.
All right.
This is Marie Osmond.
Hi, this is, insert name here.
And you'll number see, one.
Yep, 680 News. I know it's kind of faded there.
Okay. Hi, this is Marie Osmond, and you're listening to Canada's number one all news radio.
Okay.
Hi, this is Marie Osmond, and you're listening to Canada's number one all news radio station, 680 News.
Perfect.
Is that right? 680?
Yeah,
okay.
You got it. Perfect.